Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time for the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Nick Kale.
Off and running live on a Saturday in the A. It is the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and theradio.com app. Great to be with you here on a Saturday, Atlanta. We're with you for the next 3 hours as we take you up until 6 p.m. The phone number, 404-741-0929. As always, that also doubles as our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And you can get me on Twitter at Nick Kale. That is K-A-Y-A-L. Dylan Matthews, a man known to celebrate Halloween by going absolutely ham on some peanut butter cups, is the chairman of the board. Mr. Matthews, how many peanut butter cups have you had today? Don't lie.
Oh, man. I think I'm already about 27.
Did you freeze them? Get them nice and cold and crispy?
Of course. That's the best way. On a great, great holiday where you can just make up any sort of excuse to eat candy, the best excuse to eat candy, you got to do it right.
All right, I like it. We are loaded today. Great show. 40 minutes from now, Pro Football Hall of Fame nominee Derek Mason, one of the NFL's greatest wide receivers of all time. He'll join us coming up at 3:40. John Heyman, MLB insider, coming up in hour number two. And Dave Archer to kick off hour number three on the Falcons. So here's what I want to do to start the show. About 5 minutes on the Dogs and about 5 minutes on the Falcons. Let's start with what just went final as Georgia defeated Kentucky 14-3. The Dogs were about a 17.5-point road favorite, and I thought Georgia would win 30-10. That was my pregame prediction. No George Pickens at wide receiver for Georgia today. Joey Gatewood making his first career start at quarterback. Remember, Joey Gatewood was an Auburn quarterback. He transferred to Kentucky. Terry Wilson is banged up, so he gets the nod today. And I'm telling you, folks, I watched virtually all of that football game, and I legitimately thought I was watching Army-Navy. Like, I thought that Army-Navy game was played in December, not on the final day of October. Because if you watch the game, a couple of things stood out. First of all, the quarterback play set back offensive football 55 years. Like, we're in the Stone Age today watching Joey Gatewood against Stetson Bennett. That was just brutal to watch if you like points, if you like offense, if you like good quarterback play. Heck, if you just like, you know, adequate offense. That was a tough one. Georgia opens up 14 straight runs all on the ground. Stetson Bennett caps it off with a touchdown run himself. Kentucky goes on a drive. 19 plays, 82 yards. It took up over 10 minutes. They settled for a field goal. It was reminiscent of the Falcons a few weeks ago when they had that monster drive and it ended in three. And in the first quarter, you saw a total of two passes, one from each team. Now look, it's a win for Georgia, and I thought it would be an ugly, low-scoring game. I didn't think it would be 14-3, and it almost felt to me like Kirby Smart said, you know what, I know Kentucky can't score two touchdowns on me. I'm just going to run the ball. I'm not going to throw it barely at all with Stetson Bennett. Despite having success on the opening drive, you would have thought you'd see more play action from Todd Monken. And I'm just getting out of Lexington with a win, get into the bye, and then come out for the cocktail party in Jacksonville against the Florida Gators. But I have come to the conclusion now, and this is my opinion, folks. I'd love to get yours. I'm done with Stetson Bennett. Yeah, he won, but he was 9 for 13. He threw two interceptions. He had a rushing touchdown, which was one of the two scores. But again, a deflected pass at the line of scrimmage because he's 5 feet 10 inches tall. He throws from a 3/4 arm slot, which basically drops him down to like 5'6", which I'm surprised he can barely see over the line of scrimmage and get the ball down the field. I can't watch Stetson Bennett play quarterback anymore. I don't care that he won the game. What worries me is the fact that in 2 weeks, you're going to go up against a Florida Gator offense with Kyle Trask, led by Dan Mullen, Kyle Pitts, probably the best tight end in college football, and it's going to feel, to some extent, a lot like the Alabama game, where you go in wondering, can Stetson Bennett score enough points offensively for the Dogs to win the game? And a lot like the Alabama game, I don't think that's going to be the case. My preseason prediction was that Florida would win the East because they were better at the quarterback position, they are better offensively, and they're going to get to Atlanta. Now look, could the Georgia Bulldogs beat Florida in 2 weeks? Absolutely. I'm not saying they don't have a chance. I mean, that's going to be a battle. Kyle Trask could easily make some mistakes, have some turnovers. The Georgia defense could be causing all kinds of chaos and ruckus. Georgia can win the game. I just don't feel great about Stetson Bennett, and I've seen enough of him. It's a great story. Good kid. I wish him all the best. He's overachieved. He's pursued his dream. You love all that. It's a great feel-good story. But I'm not in the business of feel-good stories. I'm in the business of winning. And I truly believe that if JT Daniels is healthy, he should start in 2 weeks against Florida, because you're going to need a caliber quarterback like him to win this game, in all likelihood. I would have even went back to Dwan Mathis at some point today. It's amazing. Dwan got the hook in week 1.5. Stetson Bennett gets the endorsement of Kirby Smart. This is Stetson's team. I'd like to challenge Kirby on that, because I just don't like Stetson Bennett at the quarterback position. I think he is a liability, and I think Georgia, if I had to put a bet down right now, I would take Florida. So Dogs fans, would love to hear from you if you watched the game today, 404-741-0929. Am I making too much of Stetson Bennett in a victory, or do we need to see JT Daniels or somebody else in 2 weeks in Jacksonville? 404-741-0929. We'll take your calls on that. Nick Hale Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, also, reaction to Thursday Night Football, the Panthers and the Falcons. Willie P and I did a Facebook Live after the game went final on 92.9 The Game's Facebook on Thursday night, and we had our instant reaction to that game. But a couple of things really stood out to me. Number one, Falcons 25-17. At a micro level, good win for the Falcons. Good win. You go on the road, you beat a divisional foe, you win 25-17. I thought that was a very good win on the surface. The macro level, it's bad, because winning now takes you out of the Justin Fields sweepstakes. So the positives that I loved from Thursday night was I loved the physical defense. They got after Carolina's receivers. And we know our Falcons secondary is not, let's face it, they're not the Legion of Boom from 7 years ago. But Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, these guys are uber talented. And this secondary did a really, really good job. So kudos to Raheem Morris's defense and the secondary. I also loved Todd Gurley finishing off that game with a punch you in the face type drive, where they imposed their will on the Carolina Panthers and said, you know what? We are closing this stinking game out. In the middle of a typhoon, we're going to pound TG3 and end this game. Dylan, let's hear from the head coach, Raheem Morris, because he talked about how the Falcons were able to impose their will and get out of Charlotte with a dub.
You just talk about what you want to do, forcing your willing opponent, scoring or getting the ball back, and it couldn't end any better when you go out there and get the ball back and you can take knees, man.
So that was Raheem Morris on Thursday's performance. By the way, Georgia, Florida, next week. For some reason, I was thinking it was the 14th. It's the 7th. But a good win for the Falcons on the micro level, macro level, if you're trying to get to a great draft pick, that hurts. Here's a couple of things I didn't like. I'll tell you right now, and I know you won the game, so I know I'm being nitpicky. I just don't like the mentality or the mindset. Raheem Morris in the first quarter, you go down, you go right down the field, 4th and inches inside the 10-yard line. You can't settle for 3. I know you got the field goal. I know you won by 8. It didn't matter. That just comes off to me as a loser mentality. And I know we could say, well, it's the first quarter, grab the points. But it's like, you know, you're 1-6 on the year. It's not the first week of the season. You're not 5-2. You're not playing in Seattle on Sunday Night Football in week 13, and it's a raucous crowd, and you want to just get on the board. I didn't like the decision to settle for 3. The other thing I didn't like, and I'm borderline done with this guy, is Dante Fowler. Double whammy on that penalty because Fowler gets flagged for tripping of Teddy Bridgewater. And then he had the late hit where we led to the ejection. And the ejection is a kind of a bang-bang play. I hate to crush guys for that because when they're playing at warp speed, it's hard to let up on a quarterback. I get it. But the Dante Fowler trip thing is so bush league, so dirty, so weak, so lame. It's like you were brought in here to get a bunch of sacks. And it'd be one thing if you were playing up against Michael Vick and a guy who could take off and run for 40 yards just like that. But Teddy Bridgewater ain't going to destroy you with his legs, right? You know, Teddy Bridgewater's got a little bit of mobility, but he's not like Lamar Jackson. He's not a blur. So that really irked me. And I'm at the point now where, like, I'm 7 games into the season, 8 games. I'm done with Dante Fowler. I've seen enough. 404-741-0929. So I would love to get your calls on the other side. Next segment, we'll open up the phones, 404-741-0929. If you want to go dogs, we'll take your Georgia calls. Are you done seeing Stetson Bennett? Should JT Daniels, assuming he's healthy, start next week in the cocktail party? And then also, what are you feeling today? Is it conflicted? Is it mixed emotions? Falcons win, great for this week, but bad long term? 404-741-0929. We'll rock your calls. Dogs, Falcons, your choice on the other side. And also, I've got another positive for the Atlanta Falcons. It's not as bad as you think. I'll explain next. Nick Kale Show, great to have you in here on a Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Now back to the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, we got all sorts of drama in the world of college football as Clemson is making an unbelievable comeback once down, I believe, 28-10. They just picked off Boston College. They lead 32-28. They've got the ball back. And Jim Harbaugh was a 22-point home favorite today to Michigan State. They trail by 10 right now. The Spartans looking like they might pull off a massive upset after being slapped around last week by the State University of New Jersey, also known as Rutgers. So you hate to see Jimmy Harbaugh take a loss like this at home when you're a 3-touchdown favorite. Hey, Jim, maybe you should just worry about beating your rivals instead of worrying about what teams in the SEC are doing. That's just a thought coming from some guy doing a Saturday radio show. But I digress. 404-741-0929. I'll give you some positives and also a negative for the Falcons coming up in just a moment, but let's get your reaction to the Dogs. They beat Kentucky 14-3, and specifically your thoughts on Stetson Bennett. Should he stay as the quarterback next week against Florida, or is it now time for JT Daniels? You got to win. You got to win on the road, but if you watch the game, Stetson in the game plan was very telling. I don't feel like they wanted to put the ball in his hands to have him make plays. Maybe they didn't feel like they needed to. That said, I'm done with Stetson Bennett. Nick in Lawrenceville is up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What up, Nick?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well, bud.
Yeah. So, I don't know. My assessment was I feel like Bennett was doing great the first couple of weeks. But I feel like the Alabama game just sort of got to his head. And, you know, it's more, it's just sort of, you know, more or less like a slump, you know, it's just in your head. And I was hoping today would be more of a, you know, sort of get him out of that slump, get him, you know, get him to quit doubting himself. But I think we saw more of that today. So I think, you know, it might be time to, you know, get someone else a shot. I agree with y'all in the beginning of perhaps Mathis might have been a little bit, you know, maybe he was more ready today. I just had time to sort of slow the game down and sort of digest things. So that's just sort of my take on it.
Yeah, Nick, I appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you for checking in. And it's just baffling to me that you had such a quick hook on Dwan Mathis in week one against Arkansas, where you were losing 7-5, and then you go to Stetson Bennett. And kudos to Bennett. He rallied them from behind. They got a win. He made those mistakes in the Bama game. But let's just face fact and reality. Stetson Bennett is who he is. He's a limited player. There's nothing about Stetson Bennett that says, I got to keep this guy in. I mean, his arm is mediocre. He's very short. You know, he's got, I would call functional mobility, but that's it. And this is kind of one of the things, and it's not fair to compare a coach to Nick Saban, because Nick Saban's the greatest of all time. But when Nick Saban had question marks at a quarterback position going into a specific year, here's what he did. 2011, A.J. McCarron's first year as a sophomore starter, taking over for Greg McElroy. A.J. McCarron won a national championship. Now, they had a great defense. They ran the ball with Trent Richardson, but they won a national championship. And in the rematch against LSU, he was spectacular. In 2014, after McCarron left, Nick Saban turned it over to Blake Sims, a former running back. He hired Lane Kiffin. He made the offense work around him. They got to the college playoff, lost to Ohio State. 2015, Saban wins a national championship with the ultimate game manager, Jake Coker, a guy who lost out the starting job at Florida State to Jameis Winston. And then in 2016, Alabama goes to the national title with a true freshman. His name was Jalen Hurts. That's kind of one of the things that separates Saban from Kirby, is when he has question marks at quarterback going into a season, he figures it out. I don't think Kirby has figured it out. Now, maybe he did have it figured out with Jamie Newman, but he opted out because of COVID, and now he's getting ready for the draft. But I just watched Stetson Bennett, and I'm like, is this guy really capable of beating Florida next week? Is he capable of beating Alabama in a rematch? And I feel very comfortably saying the answer is no. 404-741-0929. Alex in Canton is up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What up, Alex?
How you doing, brother?
Good, bro.
Hey, so I'll tell you what. I think they should keep old Stetson in, because as a Gator, with our defense looking like crud, I am licking my chops right now.
All right, so you view it from the Florida standpoint. You would love to see Stetson for all 60 minutes.
All right, yeah, it'd be fantastic. I think Kirby is really good at making that call for quarterbacks, so, because we've seen him make that call, you know, what was it, 4th and 11? Let's put, you know, Justin Fields in on a fake punt. You know, let's just, you know, go ahead, Kirby, put him in.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got you, Alex. Thank you for checking in. We appreciate the call. And as a Gator fan, I would love to see Stetson Bennett in. Now, here's the thing. If JT Daniels starts, and I don't know that he will, I think Kirby, for some reason, sticks with Stetson Bennett. It's beyond my comprehension, but that's what I think he does. But if he would somehow go to JT Daniels and then Daniels struggles, then it's like, all right, is he kind of, you know, and I know in the NFL we talk about a coach losing a locker room, and I don't know how that plays at the college level, but then it's like, all right, I pulled the plug on DeJuan Mathis after 30 minutes. I bounced on Stetson Bennett in favor of JT Daniels, and here we are against Florida, and we trail 16-7 at halftime, and I'm going to pull JT Daniels. Well, then what do I do? Then it becomes like musical chairs at the quarterback position. Then it's a tough spot for Kirby. But if JT Daniels is everything that everybody says he is, and he's a potential first-round draft pick, I'm sorry. If he's healthy, he's got to play. If this season is really meaningful to you, I mean, if Kirby's thinking, well, you know, I had my guy, he opted out, we've had a pandemic, you know, it is what it is, okay. But, I mean, this is now year five? I mean, you got to get the quarterback position right eventually. I tend to think Brock Vandegrift might be that dude, but that's still a way away. 404-741-0929. Rick in Snellville next on the Dogs here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What up, Rick?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call, buddy. I'll be real quick. You know, watching that game, let me just tell you two quick things I just want to cite. With Kirby, you know, who doesn't respect Kirby and what he's done for defensive football all those years in Bama, and even coming over here and what he's built? But Kirby, to me, on the Kirby side, he's got to do more to expand his thinking on his total team now. It's not just defense anymore. He's got to get a bona fide offense in there and make the position of quarterback as important as he's doing defensive linemen, DBs, or whatever. Because we can't play these kind of games with the kind of psyche that the position of quarterback needs as far as confidence. And then the other thing, you know, with Stetson, you know, and no disrespect to Stetson, man. The kid has done great with what he was asked to do. But we're not going to win a natty with nothing more than a 14-3 win over a Kentucky. Great team, but I'm saying, you know, with what we did in Alabama And nothing against, I mean, it was the defense gave out because they were on the field so doggone much. So that's kind of my thing. I mean, Kirby needs to step it up and either let somebody make those decisions or make better decisions himself regarding his offense. And then for this year, you know, and then the last thing I'll tell you is real quick, I appreciate your time. They said during the broadcast that Kirby himself has said that DeJuan Mathis is the number two guy and JT Daniels that everybody's talking about is third string. So, yep. You know, is he not as healthy as they're saying or just what? And I appreciate your time. I'll hang up and listen to what you guys
have. Yeah, no doubt about it, Rick. Thank you for the call. I appreciate all your points. And I agree with you. And, yeah, during pregame warmups, DeJuan Mathis was taking reps with the twos, JT Daniels with the threes. But here's the thing, and you're spot on. This style of offense with game-managing quarterbacks will only take you so far in the modern era of college football. You can get to Atlanta. You can get to a New Year's Six bowl game. You can even make the college football playoff. You're not winning a national championship with Stetson Bennett or any quarterback of that ilk. You need to have an elite quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, Jameis Winston. Look at the quarterbacks over the last decade. The rare exceptions are the two guys from Bama, Jay Coker and A.J. McCarron. Other than that, it's hard to find a game manager and win a national championship. Jake Fromm on the doorstep. Appreciate the call. A couple of things on the Falcons. By the way, Pro Football Hall of Fame nominee Derek Mason, former great Ravens receiver, Titans receiver, will join us next segment. We will talk about the future of Julio Jones and the Falcons in about 15 minutes. But I do want to get to some of the positives and the negatives, big picture here for the Falcons. So I was thinking about this because, you know, beyond the game on Thursday night and the win, and we can debate whether it's a good win or if it sets you back, and it's a fun conversation to have because it really goes against everything we stand for as sports fans, right? We're like biologically programmed to root for wins. But here's a positive if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan and you are in last place. From 2015 to 2018, those 4 years, we saw six teams in the NFL go from worst to first the following year in their division. Now, it doesn't mean that it's sustainable long-term, but it is certainly doable, and it happens. 2016, the Cowboys went from 4-12 to 13-3. In 2017, the Jaguars went from 3-13 to 10-6. In 2013, which predates this four-year stretch I'm talking about, the Chiefs improved from 2 wins to 11 wins with Andy Reid and Alex Smith. And if you were just to survey from a very entry level, the NFC South, Drew Brees is 41 years old. It's go time now. And the Saints don't look that good this year, despite having a solid record. Tom Brady is 43. The Bucs have a good mix of players built to win now and possibly for the next 5 years. But the quarterback is 43 years old. Carolina, Matt Rule stock up. But no franchise quarterback long-term. Teddy Bridgewater, very good game manager, not the long-term solution. This division is ripe for new long-term leaders if the Falcons get it right with a head coach, with a GM, and whether they decide to move on from Matt Ryan or stick with him for another 3, 4, or 5 years. So that I just wanted to give that positive spin on the Falcons because we've seen teams in this league go from the cellar to first place in a matter of 12 months. Don't count it out. All right, we will come back. My former partner in Nashville, when we used to do mornings together, is Derek Mason. He's got to be ecstatic. He played for Nick Saban at Michigan State. They're on the verge of beating Michigan. But we're going to get him on to talk about Julio Jones and the long-term future of some of these key players with the Atlanta Falcons. My buddy D-Mace coming up next here on the Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
You're listening to the Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, back in here on a Saturday. Great to have you in today, Atlanta. Let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, and we welcome in a 2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame nominee. He chopped it up for the Titans and the Ravens. He's my former partner in the mornings in Nashville. He's the great 85, Derek Mason. D-Mace, your boy Sparty on the verge of knocking off Jimmy. I know you're feeling good.
Hey, what did I tell you, Nick? You know, you asked me this over through text, and I told you I wasn't worried, man. You know, last week was it was one of those deals where when you have 7 turnovers, you can't beat Ensworth High School. So this week, they played a lot better, and we were out of walk out of the big house with the victory. I know it's like 20-something seconds left. I'm looking for houses right now, man. I got to move. Mm-hmm. So I know it's 20-something seconds left, and we got the football. So
yeah. Here I mean, it's a good day for you. Michigan State wins as a 3-touchdown underdog. You're buying a new mansion. You know, life is good for Derek Mason. I got you.
But hey, man, I'm trying to downsize.
All right, I hear you. Me too. I'm trying to get down to like 1,300 square feet. But let me ask you this, because you, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on as a former wide receiver, you know, you were in a similar situation as Julio Jones. You know, you go back to the mid 2000s, you're still producing at a ridiculously high level for the Titans, and they decided to move on. You go to Baltimore and you ball out, and it looked like you didn't miss a beat. So how does Julio Jones handle this? What is he thinking? Because he's still performing. Yet it could very well be possible that the Falcons move on from him at the end of the season based on where the franchise is right now.
I mean, he has to look at it as if it's a business. You know, things like this happen. It's unfortunate because he's arguably, you know, if not the best wide receiver in the league, he's top two or three. And for a team, you know, like the Atlanta Falcons, who, you know, this is a team that had a lot of promise, not even, what, 2 or 3 years ago. And all of a sudden, they are on the verge of getting the number one pick in the draft. But that's not Julio Jones' fault. So, you know, he just got to look at it from a business standpoint. If they do decide to move on, you know, trade him, he should be in control of that. He should be, you know, he should go to front office and tell them, listen, this is where I would like to go. If you can make the trade happen, make it happen. If not, then they should allow Julio to stay there, because here's the deal. If they move past Matt Ryan, they're going to have to bring in a young quarterback. And there are two things that a young quarterback needs. He needs a really good running game, and he needs a pass catcher he can rely on. You take Julio Jones out of the mix. I like Rick Ridley. I really do. But he's not Julio Jones. You take Julio Jones out of the mix, now you're asking a young quarterback to basically fend for himself, because I don't think their run game is top-notch either. So Atlanta, they are in a tough situation right here. Do they rebuild and get rid of everybody, or did they rebuild and just get rid of the quarterback?
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's funny because, you know, if you deal Julio Jones and you can get a haul for him, because we've seen teams that are desperate for receivers that are missing just that one explosive guy, and they're willing to give up a little bit for the short-term success. If Julio is dealt, do you think Calvin Ridley is a legit number one wide receiver if the Hall of Famer next to him is gone?
It's tough for me to say he would be. I think he's a top-flight number two. And then if you release Julio Jones or trade him, he elevates to your number one. Is he that guy that can single-handedly take over a game? Is he that guy that can, you know, be the clutch player you need him to be? He's a young guy. I don't think he's ready for that yet. So you got to be very careful to all of a sudden, you know, take a guy that is playing on side of a future Hall of Famer and say, oh, he can get the job done because he's putting up numbers. You got to remember, Julio gets double-team and triple-team, so that leaves a lot of single coverage for Ridley. So he's able to benefit from that. Now Julio's gone. Now he's going to see he's going to see the double team. We went through that some years ago when I got released, and you know, Drew Bennett was here. Drew had just came off of 1,200 yards, and because I was getting the bulk of the double teams, and then when I leave, you know, now Drew gets the double team, and now the play is a little bit different. So Atlanta needs to be very careful in regards to elevating Ridley to number one, and he hasn't quite proven it yet.
2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame nominee Derek Mason is joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the WadeFord.com hotline here on the Nick Cale Show. All right, Mason, so let me get to the quarterback position, because you've played with a handful of really good ones. I look at a guy like Matt Ryan, and I say, okay, I see guys like Tom Brady, 43, Drew Brees, 41. I mean, guys are making it into their 40s. What do you think his future is with the Falcons? Because I like Matt Ryan, but, man, I'm watching guys like Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray on Sunday Night Football go up and down the field, and I'm thinking, I would love to get a Justin Fields or maybe even like a Trey Lance from North Dakota State. What's the future for Matty Ice in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, it doesn't look bright as of now. You know, this is the team that got rid of, I believe, their GM. They got rid of their head coach. And you're talking about guys that drafted Matt Ryan. So Matt is not too far behind. I don't know how you can go from an MVP to, you know, a guy that's just an average guy and still have basically the same weapons. Maybe it was the offensive coordinator that should have had a lot more credit than what they gave him. But it just it puzzles me how, you know, what was it, 3-4 years ago, they were in the Super Bowl. This guy was considered, you know, an elite quarterback, and now, you know, he's a middle of the road guy. So I don't know if that was Matt Ryan or was it the offensive coordinator.
D-Mace, let me ask you this, because you, one of the things I loved about working with you when we talked football in the morning in Nashville was you always preached that you wanted guys that had some dog in them. Now, we saw the Falcons close the deal on Thursday night, something they had trouble doing three different times this year. I mean, you can make the case that the Falcons should be sitting on 5 wins, but they're not because they choked it up. You know, I saw a little bit of dog, a little bit of nastiness in this team on Thursday night. What is it about, you know, spreading that infectious mentality and having that killer? How difficult is that for it to kind of be infused into a locker room that more often than not seems to find a way to lose games?
I think it starts with the guy that's in control of it, and it starts with the quarterback. If the quarterback doesn't have that in him, then, you know, that type of attitude, whatever attitude the quarterback has and the offensive line has, that's going to be the makeup of the offense. And it seems right now that it seems like Matt Ryan might have lost some of his, you know, the mojo he had or some of the confidence that he had or that dog he had in him. It seems like he's lost it, and it seems like the offensive line has lost it too. So if you don't have your offensive line and your quarterback leading the charge, then, you know, it's going to be hard for everyone else on the offense to do it. Julio can't do it by himself. Now, that's one guy that truly has dog in him, is Julio Jones, but he can't carry the load, you know, game in and game out. It has to come from Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan right now doesn't have it.
Final one for you, Mace. New coach coming for the Falcons, new general manager. I personally want Lewis Riddick as my GM. I want Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City as my head coach. I know you were in Baltimore with Ozzie Newsome. Now they have Eric DaCosta. We all know how great Ozzie was. But, like, what is it about a guy like Ozzie and what Eric's continued in Baltimore where it's just like they're a factory? They just seem to get everything right in the draft. They're savvy in the offseason with free agency. What is it about finding those guys that just seem to, they put their finger on something and it turns to gold?
Hey, they're good evaluators. Ozzie is one of the best evaluators in the NFL. But here's the deal. The owner gives him the ability to go out and be an evaluator. The owner trusts what the GM brings in. The owner doesn't second guess what the GM brings in. So I'm not saying that's what the deal is with Atlanta, but, you know, you got to have a guy that's willing to bring in guys with attitudes, you know, guys that go out and dominate, not just from a statistical standpoint, but dominate on the field. Because everybody's not going to put up all the numbers in college, but you have to see the guy that has the intangibles, the things, guys that are coachable, guys that have a meanness but some smarts to them. And it seems like Ozzie was able to figure that out every year, how to get these young guys. But he surrounded those young guys with veteran guys that knew how to win and knew how to play the game.
Mace, we've got about 60 seconds left. I know you're doing some great things when it comes to cancer and the color pink. So why don't you tell my audience a little bit about that?
Yes, we are doing Real Men Wear Pink Nashville campaign right now. Each individual is like 50 guys, over 50 guys that are part of this campaign. And each guy is tasked to raise over $2,500. I've met my campaign goal, and then all the other guys that met theirs. Actually, the whole campaign in general, we had a goal of 130,000. We just exceeded our goal, 130,000, but we're still raising money. So if you want to donate, go to acsevents.org. Go there and donate either to my campaign or the other guy's campaign, because it's all going to a great cause, breast cancer. My mom eventually died of cancer, but it started as breast cancer. So for all those, you know, women, even men that have breast cancer, because there are like 2,500 men per year that are told they have breast cancer. So even men, families that are dealing with that, you know, we need to help them. We need to, you know, stump out this disease and cancer, because it can be, I think.
He is a 2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame nominee, Derek Mason. Good stuff today, D-Mace. I appreciate the time. Enjoy your Michigan State victory over the Wolverines.
No problem, Nick. Thanks for having me on, and I'll come on anytime you need me to, man.
You got it. There he is, D-Mace, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And look, you look at his career. Go up on, like, Pro Football Reference. Look at the stats that Derek Mason put up in an era where they ran the ball, they were allowed to play defense, and his two best quarterbacks were Steve McNair and Joe Flacco. You put up those numbers, you've got a good case for Canton. We'll see if he gets in. We'll come back, kick off hour number two. We're going to transition and get to the Atlanta Braves. What did we learn from the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series that we can apply to the Braves? I'll tell you what I mean on the other side. Hour two of the Nick Kale Show next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.